Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. We made it. It is Friday. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for Friday, September the 20th, 2013. Hope you had a good week and are looking forward to the weekend. We thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live here 12:04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And thanks to the ace and lovely, talented Rosemary Brandt, our producer. Rose posts our show to buckmastershow.com, usually within an hour of its conclusion. Also, tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com. So there are three podcast locations for you. Our Friday Focus interview today, Daryl Cole is with me in studio. Daryl is Director of Transportation for the City of Tucson. Joining me to question Mr. Cole, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, we invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show on Facebook. We are very easy to find. It's Bill Buckmaster. Ladies first, I welcome Sarah Garrett Gasson. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Bill.
How's your week been?
Good.
Good. And Mr. Cole, Daryl, thank you for coming and speaking with our listeners. Appreciate it.
That's great to be here.
Well, everybody's talking about roads, and there is a lot of road work going on between what the county is doing, what the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA, and the city. And the city, thanks to a $100 million voter-approved project known as Project 409, seeking to improve 130 miles of major roads inside the city limits over the next 5 years. That was approved by the voters November of last year. It has now been implemented, Daryl, and where are we in the process?
Well, we started with, even pre-409, the city council and mayor found a way to get us $20 million of debt service, as well as HERF funds, kind of a precursor to the 409. So our first year, we spent $20 million on $3 million on residential and another, 14 or so on the arterial system, and you saw some of that, kind of a precursor to our 409. We've completed that. We have some of the funds left over. We'll probably look at some of the accessibility issues going for the 409. The 409 project itself, there's been an appointed by mayor and council as well as a city manager. I believe there's 11 members on that, four by the city manager and one by each council member, including the mayor, a bond oversight commission. And we've met four times or so. Their primary deed is to oversee the residential streets in the program, which is about 15% of the total package of the $100 million over the five-year term. The 85% was voted by the voters in November are the arterial street system. We have put a map out as part of the actual vote to the mayor, so we have those already specified and are working towards that.
Tell me the condition percentage-wise. I know that road folks like to kind of rate overall the system. If you had to rate the City of Tucson system of roads, what would it be right now of roads that are in good shape, not so good shape, and bad shape?
We have what we call a pavement condition index. Mm-hmm. Through our pavement management system, where we've actually gone out and driven the roadways and given them a scorecard of what you've talked mm-hmm. about. From an arterial collector system, of course, we're hoping to improve that. But you're probably, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but 40 or 50% are in the poor to very poor and even to the failed condition. Almost half. I think we have 15% that are good and you know, been resurfaced or dealt with, or new development, if you will. And then you have some fair and then good and then very good in between those. Deterioration usually are, you know, pavement's a 20-year lifespan from an asphalt pavement point of view. Usually you want to deal with things at the 7 to 10-year cycle, try to get some maintenance dollars in those. Once you've got into the 15 years and belong, you're starting to go down your performance curve and really have some pavements in poor condition.
So we have road issues, serious road issues. Here's Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star.
Well, following up on that, can you give us an example of what would be, like, what's a road that would be in the poor, very poor category, or and the very, the good to, you know, the other end of the spectrum?
We just finished paving one of the first streets out of our 409 program. Was from was coming out of the airport itself. I think it was off of between Corona and the entrance to the airport, right there
on Tucson.
On Tucson Boulevard itself, that was in poor to very poor condition before we started.
That gives a horrible impression, doesn't it, for people coming to the city seeing a road that's in really poor condition?
It really does. And so that was our first one out of the gate, and we finished that finished striping it here just in the last month or so. So we've changed that one, brought it into the 90% quartile, if you will, in good condition. So that one's very poor. Part of the pavement preservation program, if you think of Broadway on the far east side, we had some really poor pavement for that that's been there for many years, and we brought that one back up. That was almost in a failed condition.
Wow. Mm.
So we've had some of those. If you look at, there's several streets, Alvernon, Craycroft, some of the Speedway that we've improved here lately, some of the major arterials. So if it doesn't take long. The novice can see what something that's pretty in poor condition out there.
And how much does it cost to fix a pothole? When people, you know, you're driving along and it goes clunk, and you go, oh, the roads need to be fixed. How much does it cost to fix a pothole?
You know, it's all relative, but you're typically looking somewhere between $75 and $150 per hole by the time you talk equipment, materials, and the labor, of course, to go out and do a full-depth repair of that pothole. We've taken on, over the last year and a half, and really concentrated on that effort, allowing for service requests to come in and trying to get ahead of it, if you will. We're using hot asphalt pavement, as well as we're using a combination of an emulsion and a chip seal both. So we've kind of put in two different paths in trying to fix our potholes, as well as some of the crack sealing. And our responsiveness is getting down to within 72 hours of when we're receiving the call to the actual getting repaired. When we started, we were maybe in 2 to 3 weeks out. So we're getting much more responsive when it comes to the potholes.
Who should people call if they have a pothole situation? Should they call your office, or is there I guess you prioritize. Does it have to be a kind of a serious pothole, one that can knock the alignment out? Or meaning you need a new set of tires, right?
Yeah. Well, the phone number we would like everyone to call is, of course, the 52 area code.
Okay.
791-3154.
791-3154.
That goes right out to our streets department dispatcher.
That's a good one to know.
And we put a service request in. It goes directly to the supervisor in charge of the geographic area. We break the city into four geographic areas. And the ladies who are taking the calls do a very good job of getting it. And then it goes straight to their inbox. A work order gets created, and it gets into the queue. If it's really a hazard and we think it's a safety issue immediately, please tell her that, or whoever you're receiving the call, and we'll go out and dispatch immediately Monday through Friday during regular work hours.
All right. Well, folks want to talk with Daryl Cole, who is our guest. Daryl is the City of Tucson Transportation Director. He's our Friday Focus interview. Sarah Garrett-Gasson is with me in studio with Daryl. So let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. And I think we have Roberta is up first. Go ahead, Roberta. You're with Daryl Cole.
Yes, good afternoon. Hi. My son hit a pothole 3 days ago, and when he took it into the mechanic, it caused a flat tire. The mechanic said he needed a new tire, plus he needed new alignment. It was unavoidable. Is that something that he can put a claim into, or the city of Tucson, because of negligence, and now that he has to pay for a new tire and new alignment?
I can answer that in two answers. The first question is, we obviously will accept your claim for through our risk management department. It'll go into risk management in our city hall. They'll take the claim. They'll send it to us, to the streets department. We'll go out and investigate. When did we receive notice of that pothole? Did we respond in a timely fashion to repairing that pothole? and the key issue from a city point of view and not from the user yourself is the notice issue. How did we know about that pothole prior to it, and did we respond in a timely fashion? And so that's when the investigation will take place. Sometimes that's the case and sometimes it's not. So I would suggest to you to go ahead and send a claim in and let the process work for you.
Okay, so if there's a record of that particular pothole, you would know about it. Then,
absolutely.
Right?
Our service request system, we could pull it out. We can do it by location, by caller, by phone number, by address. There are several ways of researching that.
All right. Let's go back to the Buckmaster Show live line, and Chuck is with Daryl Cole. Go ahead, Chuck. Hi,
yes,
Chuck.
Go ahead. Mr. Cole, you mentioned the Far East Side on Broadway, that you repaved that.
Yes, sir.
My question is, sir, why didn't you repave the section of Broadway from Camino Seco to Harrison? That is a mess.
It is very hard. I drive that quite often. I live on the east side. And I have to admit I'm in agreement with you. The key issues are it's a pure financial situation. Repaired what finances we had within the pavement preservation program. And I'm not sure if that next section is on the map or not. But I have to admit I'm very familiar with that particular section of pavement, and it needs some help. It needs a complete mill out and complete overlay in that particular area. I've had that conversation with our own folks with the same observation. So I don't know that it's on the plan, but I can sure find out probably and get that information to you, Chuck. If we can get a phone number for you, we can get that information back to you when it be addressed, if it's within the five-year plan. We have on the website, our City of Tucson website, the actual map that the voters voted upon, and we can get that information to you.
And Chuck could call 791-3154 to get word back to you, Chuck, if you're listening. That's 791-3154. That is a really good number to have handy, because that's the pothole number. Before we take a break, there was another caller, Daryl, who did not have time to stick around and go on the air. Caller wanted to know, who do you call if a traffic signal is not working? Is that a 911 issue or not?
It depends on the issue. If you have a bulb out, or if it's on flash, what we call on flash, whether it be amber flash or red flash, you can call the 791 number. But if it's completely out, say if it's an electrical outage or that, yes, we will ask you to call 911 where we get police department out of there. If it's a yellow, red, or green bulb out and it's only one bulb, call the 791 number and we'll get to that in usually within five working days. But if you see a mast arm down, or there's been an accident, or there's some hazard in there because of the signal, depends on the answer to the question depends on the relative of the signal, what's going on. So if you find something that's not working or not functioning properly, if you believe it's an emergency, call 911. If you don't, please call the 791 number.
All right. Daryl Cole is with us, City Transportation Director Sarah Garrett-Gasson, the Star. And if you, we'll give you another number, 790-2040. If you would like to get a question in for Mr. Cole about traffic issues, please let us know. But right now we take a break, our first break of the Friday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Friday Focus interview, Daryl Cole, Transportation Director, City of Tucson, a very popular guest. Lots of people calling the live line wanting to speak with Mr. Cole. Jeff, let's take your two. Can you make it real quick, your two questions? Jeff, go ahead.
Yes. My first question is specifically related to large road expansion projects that don't seem to produce any real benefit. Specifically, I'm thinking about that job that was done to Skyline between Cole and Craycroft. You probably recall that big project that went on there. I think it was completed a year and a half ago, maybe.
Okay. What was the other question? Take them both there.
The other question was related to residential side streets. I live in the extreme northeast. And some of the side streets up here are in such bad shape, they're almost undriveable. And I noticed that there's repair work that occurs to some side streets, and then others are left go to the point where they're beyond their service of a life. And I'm wondering why some and not others. But the first question is, on that Skyline project, it was a big project. And when they were done, I was really surprised to see that there were no additional lanes. It just produced a center median and a bike lane. It seemed like a lot of work for not a lot of results.
All right. Here's Daryl Cole.
I can't say I'm familiar with the Skyline project specifically. It falls within the county and not within the city limits. But typically, if a roadway's gone, past its useful life, you're going to reconstruct it and build it back. And I'm not sure the intent of the purpose of adding lanes in that area or not. Bike lanes also are the multi-modes. We're really looking hard at multi-modes, whether it be sidewalks and for the pedestrian and bicycles for that. Capacity-wise, I've driven Skyline quite a little bit. It carries traffic fairly well. You don't want to put isolated areas of, say, a mile or 2 miles, and then hone it down into, say, have 3 lanes each direction, then bring it back into 2. You want some continuity across your community. But I can't speak specifically to why that wasn't expanded, other than possibly that, and I'm surmising that that's the case.
How about that northeast side he's talking about? I think he said northeast, didn't he? Yeah.
Residential areas just generally. We designed for a 20-year lifespan for pavement design. We live in the southwest. We were just talking about that offline a minute. We live in the southwest. We don't have a lot of free thaw cycles, or very few, if any. We don't have a lot of water penetration, which really is the enemy of asphalt. But on the other hand, we're not – you need to do some maintenance about the 7th year of its life, whether it be a rejuvenated agent's fog seals or some kind of crack sealing or sealing of it. And if you let it go beyond that into the 10 and 12 to 15-year lifespan, you start to deteriorate your pavements too. And you get into the penetrations where you have to have potholes and major cracks and subgrade failures because the water's penetrating. So the onus is on us is to try to do things timely and do those maintenance activities to prevent that and extend the lifespan. And I think that's what we're trying to do with the Prop 409 going forward.
Can we invite Jeff to call that 791-3154 number if he has some specific areas?
I would highly recommend that if you have potholes in mind or certain things, that general maintenance activities that we can do to try to extend that life and just make it a little better drive for you.
All right. Here's Sarah Garrett-Gassner of the Star.
I was wondering how long is – I mean, your roads are your life. You're a traffic guy. What kind of – when you're driving along yourself, do you see things in a different way than someone else who's just traversing the road day to day? I mean, are you always kind of evaluating a road? Do you see it differently being an expert?
Constantly.
Yes.
As you saw when you asked me for the phone number, first thing I went to is my phone and my contacts and say, here's my phone number.
Yeah.
I keep all those phone numbers in there handy. I use them personally several times a day. I raise questions with our staff. What's our approach here? How are we going to deal with that? A pavement guy, as we talked about earlier, being in transportation, you don't get away from that. When you're in your waking hours, I'm always looking at pavements or this, that, or the other one. And my staff get a kick out of me over weekends when I drive around. There's a whole list of phone calls on the answering machine. deal with this and deal with that, whether it be weeds or cracks or broken sidewalk or whatever it may be. So, yeah, you don't get away from it.
I now know why Mayor Rothschild calls you Mr. Pavement. When the mayor was on the
yes.
program a couple of weeks ago, I now know why you are known as Mr. Pavement. Well, Mr. Pavement, what about sidewalks? We have very few sidewalks in the city of Tucson, as you know. And there was a piece in Sarah's paper, the Arizona Daily Star, a couple of days ago about, I guess we need to kind of get on board here with these sidewalks, huh?
Pedestrian accessibility is a huge issue. 1991, the ADA passed, federal law was passed for connectivity and accessibility for all users. And Federal Highway Administration has been enforcing this for many years. As we do major projects, obviously we're putting in, you know, sidewalks and making it accessible and the necessary ramps and matching crosswalks that goes into those. And that's a huge issue with me. I think we need to make sure our facilities take care of whether it be a bus or a bike or a pedestrian, as well as the vehicles. And then commercial traffic as well. So we have a pedestrian advisory committee that we had this week, had their first meeting, and we think sidewalks and the pedestrian movements are very important, and they're part of our transportation facilities that we're going to focus on going forward.
What will be the area you'll focus on for sidewalks?
Initially, we're going to – all construction projects generally that have any kind of construction will have sidewalks. Mm-hmm. We're in an ADA transition plan we're putting together. We have some federal money through our regional partners, the PAG, that we're trying to get the ADA transition plan. We're updating our inventory of sidewalks. That'll be part of the pedestrian committee's purview to start talking about what's important, where do we want to go, as far as initially, if you want to go to park, do you want to go to the store, and what's the path of travel and the connectivity that we're looking for. So we're going to try to set some actual criteria up and systematically go through and work for those.
All right, Daryl Cole, we're out of time. We didn't get a chance to get to the what's known as the Michigan Left at Oracle and Ina. A lot of folks confused by it, don't like it. That's in the county, correct?
That particular one's in the county.
So we'll have to ask Priscilla Cornelia to come on the program and talk about that.
We have one as well at Grant and Oracle that should open here in about 4 weeks or so.
Can you summarize in a few seconds why we have these Michigan Lefts?
Safety. Safety movements are that it moves traffic much better on the east-west in those particular cases. And the volume of turns, it's a safer turn. You have less left turns, left impacts.
Daryl Cole, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Daryl Cole with us on the Buckmaster Show. The Roundtable is next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is railing against attempts by what he calls a faction on the far right to undermine his health care law known as Obamacare. The House today passed a bill, a federal money bill, that includes a provision that would defund Obamacare. And as House Republicans and Senate Democrats move closer to a showdown over federal spending and the health care law, investors are nervous. Stocks today have been sharply lower. The Obama administration is pushing ahead with tough new requirements to limit carbon emissions from new power plants. This despite protests from industry representatives and some Republicans who say it will mean a dim future for coal. On Wall Street, stocks are sharply lower. The Dow is down about 153 points. The Nasdaq off 13. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook. And it's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. We invite local journalists, and luckily they accept our invitation. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer and columnist, Arizona Daily Star. Dan Scheer, editor, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun. Dan and Sarah, good to see you.
Hey, Bill.
Nice to see you.
I was very pleased with our interview with Mr. Cole because we had some good response from the public, and I expected that because people, they care a lot about their roads.
Yes, they do. Yes. No, that was really helpful. I thought.
Absolutely.
Sarah, you had editorialized. You wrote an editorial, the Pima bond vote should be postponed to 2015, and Dan brings us news today that it will indeed
yes.
be postponed
yeah,
until 2015.
Right,
when in 2015?
Well, that's a good question, but the Bond Advisory Committee this morning recommended that it be put off to 2015. Now, that has to officially go before the Board of Supervisors, but it's not going to have any problem being approved. But they did throw a little twist on it. They said that they wanted to look at possibly having the vote in May 2015 instead of November of that year. That would take going to the state legislature and getting their approval. So apparently they think 1 year off is too soon. 2 years might be too long. So we'll see what actually happens, though.
That's right. The law was changed so that in the off-year election, you couldn't do it necessarily in the spring.
Correct.
Right? And actually, I think that would be the time to do it, May, Sarah, because there would probably be nothing else on the ballot, and we've talked about this before, putting it in November, whether it's an off-year election or an election where there's a city, other things going mm-hmm. on, it's going to get distracted.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of overlook the mm-hmm. less flashy parts of elections in a November election. The only roadblock I would see, or speed bump, whatever you want to call it, is Pima County is not popular up in the legislature, and I have a hard time just on the face of it thinking that the legislature is going to let Pima County do something.
Oh, this is from Pima County?
Right.
No,
yeah.
No.
Especially
no to
do with bonds, even though, because there's a whole big to-do up there, even though a very thorough audit found absolutely no problem and commended how Pima County handles its bond programs.
It'd be shocking that politics would inject itself in this, but it very well could happen. I would agree with that it will probably see it in November 2015.
A lot of confusion about the survey that came out. In your editorial, Sarah, you point out that some of the items that folks really wanted to see money go to, things like expanding the loft cinema, which is run by a nonprofit organization, those kinds of things were included in the online survey, but really have nothing to do with Pima County bond money.
Right. People were given, here's a whole
like
big
this popularity.
Yes.
Contest.
Here's a whole big list of proposals that have come in. What do you think about them? But without any sort of culling of, is this actually feasible? Is this legal? Anything like that. And so, of course, things like expanding the loft cinema. I think there was a hippo exhibit, and I'm not sure if the legalities on that, if a county
about
bond.
At the zoo.
Yes, yeah. At the zoo, not at the Love Cinema.
No.
although that would be a whole new
yeah,
kind of.
A new project.
Yes,
yeah.
A new project showing your friends the large mammals. I don't know. But the problem I thought, and we mentioned it in the editorial, is that these sort of projects are easy to hang on to for criticism or support, but they don't have really any chance of being included, or should they be included, in the actual bond issue that would go to voters. And I think that Chuck Huckleberry told me that they plan to do some several more kind of public surveys
maybe culling out some of the
Yeah, they need to give us a list of what is actually feasible.
But he also was saying that those are the types of things that will bring people to the polls. Mm-hmm. So you know some will end up on there because they may not be the best projects, but if they're going to get people to come out and pass the overall bond, they may end up on there. Who knows?
Hey, this was an interesting item that ran in your paper, Dan. Actually, you put this story together. It ran Wednesday about a Democrat asking for the repeal of part of Obamacare.
Yeah,
that's
very
kind of news.
Very interesting. We're talking about U.S. Representative Ron Barber. And last spring, a Green Valley resident who actually read the entire Affordable Care Act took a concern of his to the Green Valley Council. They, in turn, got Barber's ear about what they say is a very big mistake in the legislation. Currently, on our federal tax returns, we can deduct medical expenses of over 7.5% of our adjusted gross income. The Obamacare would increase that to 10%. Now, if you're an older person, this really is going to hit you hard because older people tend to be facing medical problems that cost a lot more money. So this is 19 words deep in this this now law, and Ron Barber said, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. On Tuesday, he introduced a bill that would repeal that part of the Affordable Care Act and keep it at 7.5%. And I think that this is going to be considered nonpartisan. I think people will get on board with it. The only problem with this is going to be that there are a lot of people out there who are saying, look, we're not going to pick it apart. We just want the whole thing gone.
Right.
So if you can't get those folks on board and they don't support this bill, we might be in trouble, and a lot of older people are really going to get hit hard.
Yeah, Dan Scheer is with us, Green Valley News and Sarita Sun editor, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, columnist and editorial writer. Front page today on the Star, the MDA, Muscular Dystrophy Association, moving its national headquarters out of Tucson. Sarah, well, first of all, it's not good to see when we lose a national headquarters because, quite honestly, I can only think of a couple national headquarters that Unisource, and I can't. There may be a couple more that are based here in Tucson. So I don't like to see that. I don't think that's good. But one thing that is good news about this is that it doesn't look like there'll be a big downsizing as far as some 100 Tucson workers there at MDA.
Right. I totally agree with you about the message that it sends or the impression that it gives if a national headquarters is moving out of Tucson. Locally, just day-to-day sort of stuff, it is important to note that they aren't saying that jobs will leave. They're saying that the jobs for the most
part,
will
stay
here.
And they won't have a presence in the community to carry out the services that they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they provide an awful lot of important services for muscular dystrophy causes, raising money, all sorts of things. So I think it's one of those things that the headline might be a little more shocking than the details of what it will mean for the employees and their families.
And this is interesting, Bill. I'm going to take you back a week to Mesa Mayor Scott Smith, who you had on the show here. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about strategies involving all of Arizona and how – so it's not just maybe a Tucson issue, but maybe an Arizona issue that we have not been very good at strategizing in building and keeping businesses here. And he had some very good points.
I think we're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line to Dan. Is it Don? No. Dan. Okay, Dan has a question for, I think, Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you. You folks were talking about the Affordable Health Care Act. I was wondering, that was supposed to include everyone, and here it seems like that the White House is now allowing government workers and politicians and I don't know, some friends of the president, I suppose, to be excluded from the Health Care Act. Now, how is that feasible? I mean, that's a law. Doesn't have to be obeyed.
Well, that you know what, that is out there, but that's simply not true. People are not being excluded from it, and there's a lot of information online where you can learn more about that. I won't go into it right here, but what you just said is simply not the case. Nobody's being excluded.
All right, 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. We have a full agenda today, but I do want to – we were talking about MDA, so Matthew – is with us next on the Buckmaster Show live line. Matthew, very quickly about MDA, please, sir.
Well, I brought this up only a couple of days ago, I think it was, when I said that, you know, we had an opportunity to Tucson to expand our nonprofits. And we have a look at where they're going. They're going to where there's snow. They have a troubled school system, troubled cities. They're leaving us for, we have all the great environment to attract nonprofits. We've had them for 22 years, and we should be looking to either, reach out to other national nonprofits. We had an opportunity over the last couple of years to become like Hartford does for insurance companies, the home of, we should be doing that. We should look at this as a wake-up call and also an opportunity to say we need a game plan to start attracting national nonprofits come to Tucson for the right reasons. And this is a loss. You can't say this isn't a loss. This is very upsetting.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. No, I would agree with you, Matthew, that it is a loss, as I mentioned in my remarks when we introduced this story. I think it's a loss anytime you lose a headquarters company in Southern Arizona.
And it's interesting what you were just saying, Matthew, as far as like Hartford being the the mecca for insurance. And look at Colorado Springs, which has more than 100 Christian-based organizations. And a lot of them had fled California for obvious reasons, high cost of living and taxes and things like that. So how did Colorado Springs do that? How did they suddenly start attracting all of these? How can Tucson do that? Because I would agree with you that we have here the mindset, the workers and the smarts to get this place going to be a mecca for those nonprofits. I agree with you.
I think that anything that is an industry like administrative, nonprofit things or banking, things that don't take water out of the ground and or cause pollution are absolutely the kind of enterprises that we as a community need to be kind of focused on and attracting.
Rosemont made a decision. Well, actually, the decision wasn't made by Rosemont. The decision was made by the Coronado National Forest. And Dan, we do appreciate your update calling us with that news on Monday's Buckmaster Show. And as you've reflected over this the past 5 days, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I think the thought is still the same as it was months and maybe even years ago, is that in the end, all of this will be it'll all wind up in court. Okay. Before then, though, what we learned on Monday was that the Forest Service will not render a decision until November because it comes after September 27th when new federal rules come into play. This means that opponents of Rosemont basically get another airing of their grievances. So they get to be heard again. So this is a very positive thing. Rosemont says it's a positive thing, although I'm sure that what they're thinking is, haven't we had enough opportunities for this? Save the Scenic Santa Rita's, which opposes the mine, says this is a positive thing because for them, it gives them another shot at making their case.
And, of course, the opponents of Rosemont, Sarah Garrett Gasson, are happy with it because it's a delay.
Yes, absolutely. With so many of these issues, if you can delay and delay and delay and push the process and extend it, it becomes more and more financially difficult, although with this sort of asset in the ground, I don't know that any amount of delay would convince investors or companies to pull out. But the delay is definitely in the favor of the Save the Scenic Santa Rita's.
People want to talk about health care, Dan. Another caller saying that the caller said millions of government workers are exempt from Obamacare.
Okay, take down my number, 547-9770. That's my work number, and tell me where you're getting this information, and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Okay, and would you give that number again, Dan, so this caller could call you?
547-9770. That's my work number.
But we need to make sure, if you're listening to the first part of the program, that that is not the pothole
number. Oh, yes.
Do not call
that. No. Don't call the pothole
number,
because that was really a great number that everybody should have, the pothole number. Certainly, if you live in the city of Tucson, call the pothole hotline. We'll dub it a hotline. Quickly on political news, Arizona House Minority Leader Chad Campbell made an announcement on Facebook that he is not running, and that's good news for Fred Duvall, who now looks like he's the sole Democratic gubernatorial candidate.
Yes. Chad Campbell has been very effective, I think, in the legislature for the Democrats. He's very smart. He's very popular. He has, I think, good standing in among Democrats. But the problem, politically speaking, is that the Democrats in Arizona don't have an awful lot of wiggle room. They need to find their candidate and say, we are behind you. And so I think what he did by saying, I'm not going to run for governor, throwing basically the unifying force behind Fred Duvall, is an asset for the Democratic Party.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Bennett did announce he is running for governor. That's going to be an interesting matchup because he and Doug Ducey, the state treasurer, are pretty good friends, and now they're both going to be running for governor, Dan.
Right, and certainly no surprise there. He said he was going to announce that this month, and Doug Ducey also. And again, we'll see if Scott Smith jumps in. As he said, I think he told you last week, it'll be a few more months before he really makes a decision on this. And that's what we had been told a while back, is it'll be after the first of the year. He wants to focus on other things.
So it's a crowded field on the Republican side and the Democratic side. It's basically Fred Duvall. Do want to make a quick announcement about a college fair for any parents who are listening who have children who are ready for college. I think this sounds like a great opportunity. Tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., there'll be representatives from colleges and universities from across the country right here in Tucson at the El Pueblo Activity Center on Irvington. This is being hosted by the mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, and Congressman Raul Grijalva. So if you're thinking about college, where to go, and never too soon to start thinking if the kids are in high school.
Absolutely, even earlier than high school.
Yeah, even if you're in grammar school. I guess. Dan Scheer, thank you very much. Sarah Garrett Gasson, thank you. And I hope you both have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights under the glowing glass of brilliant light. Starting Saturday, September 28th, a first-time-ever five-straight Saturday night premiere. An exciting family adventure with activities that promote more curiosity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admissions. Kids 12 and under, also free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Ah, that music always heralds the weekend. Our weekend watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where this weekend it's the 9th annual Gila River Festival. And it's only three and a half hours east of Tucson, 15 degrees cooler, and I would venture to say a lot greener. They've had some wonderful rain over there that really has greened up the Gila National Wilderness. Check out all the great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn and Spirit Canyon Lodge, on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show. He is Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and a gentleman who is always in search of a good meal. He's always got a full tummy, let's say. Let's put it that way.
I just love heralding the weekend with you and your listeners, Bill. I was just explaining to your producer, Rose, I actually haven't had lunch yet, so I am starving.
Oh, that is a dangerous combination. Matt Russell with an empty stomach. Somebody's going to get a real nice piece of lunch business today.
For sure.
12th annual, I know you love chilies, the Roasted Chili Festival is here.
Yeah, chili heads like I am, you nailed it. Always look forward to this annual event, the 12th annual Roasted Chili Festival. Tomorrow from 9 to 3 out of that big green barn out on East Old Spanish Trail, you're going to feast on a cornucopia of fresh roasted Arizona-grown chilies. You're going to be able to pick out some chili ristras and some fresh produce for purchase, live music, arts and crafts, lots of games for the kids. But those chilies that keep bringing me out every year, especially those roasted poblano and hatch chilies, this is a must attend for folks who love a little spice in their life. It's the Roasted Chili Festival tomorrow from 9 to 3.
And it's in a big green barn?
Yeah, as you're making your way up to Colossal Cave on Old Spanish Trail, there's this kind of master plan community in this big green barn kind of appearing out of nowhere. You know you've made it to the right place.
All right. I can't believe it. It's Oktoberfest already?
Yeah, with these higher-than-average temperatures, you wouldn't guess it, but we're going to be celebrating fall this weekend, and no better way to celebrate it than Mount Lemmon Oktoberfest. It's a short trip up the mountain on Saturday or Sunday. It's going to get you up close and personal with some of the season's best, like grilled Bavarian bratwursts with all the fixings and ice-cold German beer and live German music, and, of course, that spectacular backdrop of Ski Valley that makes this such a fun day. Now, bring a blanket and some chairs and enjoy temperatures in the low to mid-70s for Oktoberfest on Mount Lemmon this weekend and every weekend through October 13th.
You know, I was mentioning Silver City is greened up. They've had great rain. Well, right here in our backyard, Mount Lemmon, 12 to 15 inches during the monsoon, so it should be absolutely gorgeous up there,
just
Matt
beautiful.
Russell.
Just beautiful.
And this is a good one, Arizona Restaurant Week. Let's support our restaurants in Arizona.
Absolutely, and it kicks off tomorrow night, Bill. There's 14 Tucson-area restaurants that are participating this year in grand style. Each of these restaurants has created a customized three-course dinner menu to celebrate the season. The number of options for only $30 or $40 per person. So go to ArizonaRestaurantWeek.com for all of the restaurants and the menu.
And the column this week in Inside Tucson Business, Matt Russell.
We've got
take a look at some of the restaurants that are doing some real interesting things for Arizona Restaurant Week, and you don't want to miss it. Pick up a copy today.
Thank you very much. Matt, have a great weekend.
You too. Cheers, Bill.
$12.58 on the Buckmaster Show. It is time to say thank you, Culligan. Culligan Water, our bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, for all your residential and commercial water needs, all of the in-studio guests on the Buckmaster Show are provided a bottle of Culligan water. Everybody loves that arrangement. It is indeed the best bottled water in town. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, our lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and reminding you that coming up this afternoon from 3 to 5 right here on AM 1030 KVOI, it's the John C. Scott Show, the Dean of Local Talk. Mr. Scott will be with us for 2 hours this afternoon. Then tomorrow morning, it's Expert Talk. It begins a full day, really Saturday and Sunday here on the station. All of the experts come in. The first expert up at 7 a.m., he is Phil Cedar. He's the gardening expert, the gardening guru, if you will. Then on Monday morning, it starts all over again with Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I wish you a very wonderful weekend. Back with you Monday.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.